sisters and friends, happy Monday, everybody. Y'all, I am so excited for today. I mean, if you are in a place to get your Bible out, just get your Bible out, get your cup of coffee. This is going to act as a Bible study for your day because we have the one and only April Rogers back on the podcast, and we're going to be talking about her new book, Resting in Jesus. It's a 30-day walk with Mary and Martha. It's a devotional guide, so we're going to kind of do a little devotional. So, April, I'm so glad you're back on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Sadie.
It's so fun, and I'm so glad to kind of go through some of this book because we all need this message.
Yes.
Including we all,
yes,
me and
yes,
you.
Yes, me, for sure.
We were just talking about that. We were like, man, you get slapped in the face with your own message sometimes. And
all the time.
It's actually funny. I was telling Christian this today. This is a pretty funny moment. So recently I was on this call with our LO sister ambassadors, and I was like, okay, what am I going to talk about today? And I just decided to talk from the heart, like what I was going through. And I was talking about social media struggles and different things and like just the balance of how much we should be on it or not. And
I was on that call.
You were on that call. Okay.
Yes.
This was so funny. I don't know if you knew this happened because I didn't say anything. But one of our ambassadors was like, I just want to like give you some advice. She's like, I actually heard someone at Passion say this, and I don't know who said it, but they're basically talking about like, what if Paul had social media? Like, what would he say in this day and age? And I was just laughing because I said that at Passion, but she didn't know I said it. She was like, someone
so
said
funny.
This, and I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And she gave me back my own advice. But I was telling Christian, the funny thing is I needed it. Like,
right.
I didn't.
Yeah.
He was like, did you tell her that you said that? I was like, no, because I needed that advice.
Right.
Like, I needed her to remind me of what I said and what I knew was true. And I'm so glad she didn't know it was me because she probably wouldn't have said it back to me because she would have been like, oh, you know this already. But I'm like, no, I needed that message again. So it's so true that, like, you can have something in your life that you wrote a book on or you talk about forever, you study, but then, you know, another wave comes and you need that same message in a new season.
It's so true. You know, and I'm just now walking through this with my small group, with my ladies' Bible study. And this morning we were just going through week two and I was like, this message is for me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even remember writing part of it.
Wow.
But, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit comes in.
Yep.
And just takes over. I know that you know what that feels like. And then all of a sudden, whenever I was reading, I was like, oh, wow. That message was for me today. I needed it.
That's cool. Yeah. It's so true because God will speak through you to speak to his people. And he's speaking to you too. But it really is like when you say, oh man, that was so the Lord. Of course, you put your hands to it. You
right.
did the work. But like God really was speaking. He was moving. And so when you get that reminder of something, maybe even you said, it was like, no, that was something God said to me. And I needed the reminder of what he said in my life. And so it's so good. And Mary and Martha is kind of like that. I feel like kind of that story for so many people. It's a story that many of us have heard a lot. So maybe some of you haven't. And April, I want you to kind of tell a little bit of the story. If not, even we can read some of the story. But for those who are, you know, have heard it, this is another time they're going to hear it. For you, I know it was the same way. What kind of stuck out to you as you begin to study this, that in a fresh way that maybe you didn't think about before with Mary and Martha? Or is that just too much of a loaded question?
So much. But I will tell you that Mary and Martha only show up in Scripture three times.
Hmm.
They show up in the Gospel of Luke, and then they show up in the Gospel of John whenever they lose their brother Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that last time I was on the podcast, I told you a little bit about my story and how that I have walked that path before. And we can talk about that as well. But then they also show up, again in John 12,
mm-hmm.
whenever they are now anointing Jesus
and
serving Jesus. And so it kind of goes full circle, but it's only three times in Scripture. And so whenever I was writing this book and I was thinking, okay, 30 days, like, where are we going? Lord, you're going to have to show me how to do this. And he did, Sadie, like,
wow.
He just rolled it out. But what he taught me through all of it is that, you know how sometimes you'll see those memes on social media and it's like, be a Mary and not a Martha. And that always bugged me because I felt like, you know, well, the Lord made Martha and her personality too. So why can't we take the best of what Martha has to offer and the best of what Mary has to offer and maybe just meld the two together?
That's great.
And that way we can learn how to sit and to listen and to really allow God's word to fall onto fertile soil.
Yeah.
But we can also have the gift of hospitality and we can serve others. And, you know, Jesus was the ultimate servant.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he came to serve and to not be served, you know. So if we want to take that to heart as well, then we can meld the two personalities and come out with somebody who is really just really aware of how to cultivate a relationship
with
the Lord, but also wants to take it that next step further and to serve.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that so much because I'm the same way. Those always bother me because I'm like, okay, let's be real. I'm a Martha person, you know, like I'm going to be doing the thing. We had people over last night and I was like trying to put it all, like I was hosting, you know, and I love doing that. And so I love that you said like, Martha was created by God too.
Yes.
She had her personality was created by God, and in that personality, she can fully serve God. And maybe in that moment, she was missing the main thing. And
that's
certainly
right.
I can do the same thing. Can you just like refresh for people who have never heard the story before? If you want to read it, you can. If you want to share it, you can. Just like the story of Mary and Martha before we dive in. Because I know some people listening are probably like, okay, who are these people?
Like, wait a minute. Who are these two sisters? Well, they were from Bethany, and Bethany is just a short 2-mile walk away from Jerusalem. So it made sense that Jesus and his disciples would want to go to Bethany just to get away from all the hustle and the bustle.
Yeah.
So just imagine like if you are there and it's festival time, you know, like everybody's there for the feast. You want to go somewhere different so that way you can kind of get away. A hot meal, have a place to rest your head, but then the next morning wake back up and take that 2-mile walk back into Jerusalem. So Bethany was a great place for them to rest their heads. Well, it says that Martha was the one who welcomed Jesus into her home. And whenever I think about that, I think about the fact that maybe she heard about Jesus, maybe she wanted to know who Jesus was. And so she invites him to come over. Well, as he's walking up, there's like 12 other men,
that are like following.
She's thinking, okay, well, maybe I was preparing for Jesus and I wanted to know more about him. But now I have all of these 12 other men that I have to feed as well. So this is Luke 10, and this is starting in verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And there's like an exclamation point at the end of that.
I love that.
And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.
Wow.
So whenever I think about this, I think about Martha opening up her home. So first of all, we see that she has that gift of hospitality.
Yeah.
And she did want him and his presence to come and to rest inside of her home. And I think that we have to start there. If you want God's rest, it always follows a relationship.
It's great.
And so I think that that's important for the listeners to hear today too, because a lot of times we just say, okay, like, Lord, just give me your favor, give me your blessings, give me your rest. But it always follows that true, authentic relationship with Jesus.
Yep.
And so if we want that, we have to welcome him into our heart and into our home, and we have to start there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm always going to be the one to say, like, all right, do you truly know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
We have to start there.
It's great.
And then you can get that presence. You can get the rest. You can get the stillness that you need.
I love
that. So Martha opened up her home, but as she's in there and she's in the kitchen, I can just kind of see her like dicing the onions, and she's like pounding the meat, and she's like thinking, where is Mary?
Yeah.
Like, Where in the world?
Why she's is thinking, I need some help.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of like peeking around the corner. And there's Mary, and she's sitting with the disciples. And I'm a firstborn. a people pleaser. Like I have those tendencies inside of me too. I want everything to be perfect. And if Jesus is coming into my house, I want to make sure that I have enough food and I have it done right. But then there's Mary, and she is sitting at the feet of Jesus. But it said that she was actually listening. Mm-hmm. And so, Sadie, I want you to think about it from the standpoint of, like, you, let's say that you're telling Honey to do something, and she's distracted, and she's wanting to play, and she's wanting to have fun. And you can tell, like, she's not really listening to you. It's kind of like going in one ear and it's going out the other. And so maybe you just take Honey's sweet little face in your hands and you say, like, I want you to really listen to what Mommy is saying.
Yeah.
I really want you to listen. And like you can tell there's a difference between if she's just like hearing the words or if she's actively listening and it's soaking in. And then once she can hear you, then she can go out and she can obey.
That's good.
And I think about that as Mary, you know, like she was actually sitting and she was listening to the word of God, and it was falling on that fertile soil.
That's good.
And so as Jesus is speaking, you know, Martha comes out, and just imagine with me, Jesus is sitting down, the disciples are sitting around him, and here comes Martha. And it's like, she's just standing over him. You know, it's like, oh my goodness. And Jesus is probably looking up at her like, what in the world? But I think about Martha as like a pressure cooker. You know, like, do you ever cook in the Instapot?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so like you just take all your stuff and you put it into the Instapot and you put the lid on tight and then you press the button and you go away. But when you come back, you can't just take that lid off. Mm-hmm. You have to take the pressure valve and move it.
It's good.
Right? Yep. And so what happens is all of that steam just comes hissing out. It's like, and I just imagine that's what Martha felt like.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. And it's like, it just all is just like getting to her, and she's worried and she's upset. And then she's just getting frustrated. And then all of a sudden it just comes hissing out right on top of Jesus.
Yeah. Which is so crazy to imagine.
I know. And so then Jesus tells her, you know, I love how Jesus is so tender and he's so kind. And he says, Martha, Martha.
Yeah.
And Martha's actually in really good company, because anytime a name is repeated twice in scripture, he's always calling that person into a new space with him.
Wow, that's cool.
And so here we see that he is calling Martha into a place of rest and of trust. And she's going to need it later.
Yeah,
you know, whenever she has a crisis of faith.
Yeah.
But right then and there, he just says, you know, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. And he sees her heart.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on inside of her. And then he just says that Mary has made the better choice and only one thing is needed.
Wow.
And that is to be with him.
Wow.
And it goes back to relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Always goes back to relationship.
So I remember when Christian and I started dating, and it was this whole discussion on, like, are you a night owl or an early bird? And I was a night owl. He was an early bird. And we were like, how are we going to make this work? Well, obviously, we made it work. But whatever your relationship is like, with when you like to sleep and what your bed is, Miracle Made Sheets are here to help you get the best sleep ever. Miracle Sheets are made with NASA-inspired silver-infused fabrics that are designed to help regulate your body temperature so that you can stay cool and comfortable all night long. So say goodbye to waking up super hot. This is your key to success. The silver-infused in Miracle Sheets also prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth so that they stay clean and fresh up to 3 times longer than regular sheets. Plus, all that bacteria in your bed can cause clogged pores, breakouts, acne, allergies, which no one wants. And Miracle Sheets are literally made to help you out with laundry and your skin. They're helping you out with all the things that, honestly, we all need help in. Miracle Made Sheets are great for helping you stay cooler and cleaner, but they're also crazy comfortable. They feel like 5-star hotel sheets, but they don't have that 5-star price tag. Can I get an amen? Y'all, they're really awesome. I remember the first time we tried them out, we loved them. Now we have a couple of different sheet options for Miracle Made, just because we don't want to have any other in the rotation of our bed, because we love them so much. So go to trymiracle.com/woe to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40% 20% off, and if you use the promo code WOE at checkout, you'll also get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you aren't 100% satisfied, you're going to get a full refund. So upgrade your sleep with Miracle May. Go to trymiracle.com/woe and use the code WOE to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/woe to treat yourself today.
That is so beautiful, and I love that you gave us like visuals to understand the story, and like today's, I could like see the whole thing playing out. And it also like makes me think about when he was saying Mary chose what's better, and she's sitting there listening, how so often we feel like we have to do something for God, for yeah. him to be impressed by us, or him to love us, or him to be in relationship with us. But she's there trying to impress God. She's like, yeah, I'm going to make the meal. I'm going to get it all ready. I want to impress you, Jesus. Like, I'm hosting you. And that's not a bad thing. Right. But he's like, I don't need you to do anything for me. I just want you to sit with me. Like, this is what I'm loving about this moment with Mary, is we're in relationship. And this is what I want from you, is not the best cooked meal, but you. And I think that like that was a really big revelation in my life with just what a relationship with the Lord looks like. Like, you don't have to earn it by your doings. It's just by being who you are. And so I love how this story, even, you know, there's so many undertones to the story that you can pull out the messages of. Well, I went ahead and just folded down some pages in here, and I thought we could just kind of go into a few of these pages and just talk to you about some of these things, because you clearly know this story so well and can teach it so beautifully. And you did this throughout all these 30 days. So this is just a peek at this study, by the way. After you listen to this podcast, you need to go get the full study and actually dive into it with you and your friends. But one of the things you're talking about is just, this is in week 1, called Seize the Day.
Yeah.
Day 4 of week 1. And you talk about just like the importance of kind of putting our task away and being with the Lord. And I love this, where you said, we must set the alarm, put a time limit on social media, decline the offer to add another event to our calendars, ... if that's what it takes to put away the distractions. And I love that, because I struggle with that. Like, so many times I think that we feel like we fall victim to our calendar or schedule, and we're like, there's nothing I can do about it, Lord. I wish I had more time, but like, I don't. And then you're like, but ... Like, actually, you could just not add that to the calendar, or you could spend a little less time on social media, or you could wake up a little bit earlier, go to bed a little bit later. And I do that all the time. I'm like, oh man, like, I hate that I'm so busy. It's like, yeah. Oh, you actually are in control of your calendar and your life and the decisions yes. you make. So talk to us a little bit about just your own life of realizing what it took to actually be in relationship with God, or those small moments when you're like super, super busy.
Yeah. I can't remember if I talked about this on our last podcast that we did together or not. But the Lord taught me this lesson whenever I was on a Compassion International trip. Mm-hmm. And it was a women's only tour. And I can remember my kids were young. I was in seminary, you know, so Ella was probably like 5 and Addie was 7. And I was doing so much for the Lord, but I wasn't really doing anything with Him.
Wow.
You know,
that's real.
And there's a trap in that, right? Yeah. Because it's like, I'm learning about you, and I'm writing papers about you, and I'm, you know, everything that I'm doing is for you, but it wasn't with Him. And so there was this woman on this trip, and at the end of the day, we were kind of debrief, and she opened up her mouth to pray, Sadie, and when she did, I was like, whoa.
Wow.
Her prayer was anointed. It was so good. Wow. And so the next day I got on the bus, and I just kind of like sat next to her, and I was like, hey, so your spiritual gift is prayer, right? And she said, well, it is, but it didn't start out that way. It started out with me setting my alarm and waking up and just spending time reading God's word and then praying to Him.
Wow.
And I could feel myself kind of like the flare up a little bit. And I was like, well, I already wake up super early to get my kids ready for school, and I have to take them to school, and then I have to get my stuff done. And it was a defense mechanism inside of me. And she said, well, ask the Holy Spirit to wake you up and see if He won't do it. I was like, wow. Okay, I think I will. That's and I good. Did. And Sadie, like, he did. He woke me up.
That's so cool.
Early so that I could spend time with him before I had to get the lunches made and the kids out the door and everything else. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen for every single person. Like, you might be a single mom. You might have different things, different commutes that you have to do. But just being intentional to spend time with him and to not let the sun go down before you have spent time with somebody who created you and wants to spend time with you. So he taught me that lesson and I've never forgotten it. And so I don't do this perfectly, but sometimes I just try to wake up and make sure that I get myself a cup of coffee and read through his word. And just pray his word back to him.
That's cool. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that so much. And that's such a good word for me because I feel like whenever I have like an event coming up, then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to be diligent, like, because I know I have this coming. But then if I don't have something that's keeping me accountable to it, then I'm like less likely to be, you know, as like intentional with my time. And I feel like that's kind of what you're saying. It's like, I'm doing things for you, but I want to do it with you. So like, even if I don't have something that I know I'm like speaking about, or I'm not specifically diving into this message, I just want to be able to like be diligent enough and intentional enough to just sit in his word just that's because I want to be with him. And there's this song, it's called Dove's Eyes. I don't know if you ever heard it.
No, I haven't.
It is one of my very favorite songs because of the words of the song. And it says, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to sing right to you. And then it talks about like, give me dove's eyes, give me undistracted devotion to you. And I sing that as my prayer over my life. Like, I do not want to talk about you like you're not in the room. Because I think so often in ministry, you can get in the zone of like, I talk about him all the time, but like, you're in the room. So like, I want to sing right to you. I want to speak right to you, God. And so I just love that. I'm definitely going to be praying that over my life. Like, Holy Spirit, wake me up in the morning.
And he will. It is so bizarre. Like, he would wake me up about 5 minutes before my alarm would go off.
Wow. That's so cool. Like, I need that. Okay. Yes, this is my new prayer.
Yes, sir. I'm awake.
This is my new prayer. This morning, actually, Haven woke up a little bit earlier. And everything in me wanted to like push Christian up and be like, go get her a bottle.
Go take care of your child.
And then I was like, okay, no, I need to get up because I've been saying I want to get up and spend time with the Lord. Well, Haven was up, so it was obviously going to look different than just sitting and reading because she is like, she's a fun kid, so she wants to have fun. So I get up with Haven and she's kind of playing around and I had Teletubbies on. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to change it to Priscilla Shire because she wasn't even really watching Teletubbies. So I just like put Priscilla on and then me and Haven got to play and I got to listen to Priscilla and she was like looking at her a lot. Like, Priscilla is so animated how she talks. So Haven was even like entertained by it. And Christian walked in, he started laughing because me and Haven are sitting on the couch watching Priscilla Shire. And I was like, I'm introducing her at a young age. So even that is like a way to just get into it. If it doesn't look like opening and reading, if your season looks a little different, that was great this morning. Started my day off good. Okay, next page, we are on week 3, day 1, page 69, and there were two things that really stuck out to me here, so I'll just read both of them, but this was like, oof, this is true. You said, at its root, worry robs us of trusting the Lord to meet our needs. This part is what got me. We falsely believe that if we worry, we can invoke some kind of control over our situation. But in reality, God is the one who is in control and has the power to change our situation. So I just have to stop there because that was like gut punch. Like, that is so real. And I think especially for moms, I see this being true, that like we worry about our kids, right? Like, you worry about your kids all the time. But it almost feels like you should worry about it because you almost have some kind of like control in the situation of like worrying for them. And I see like a lot of moms struggle with this. And so what do you feel like when you wrote that? Like, I'd never even thought about the tie of like control and worry, but I was like, man, I do that so often. Like, me worrying about it feels like I can control something in the situation, even though like I'm am aware that I can't.
Right.
It's just something I can hold on to. So how do you, as a mom and just as a woman,
right,
you know, let go of that control that you have as you worry about things?
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that is gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
Well, I will tell you that the Lord re-taught me this lesson this week. I mean, honestly, he did, because I was feeling that sense of control, like I wanted to hold on to it. And, you know, it's all an illusion anyway.
That's
like
true.
We really don't have any control over that. And so if we just kind of like loosen that grip and give it to him, then what we will find is that peace and that presence comes in. But it's not our default, right?
Yeah.
Our default is to worry and to be upset. And I will tell you, like, in some ways it gets easier, but in some ways, like, there's a whole new set of things to worry about. Like, now Addie's driving a car and I have to worry about that aspect of it. And then she's going to be going off to college, and then Ella's going to fall asleep. And so there's always going to be things that I can get worried and I can get upset about. But if I can trust him, and I almost wanted the name of the book to be Trusting in Jesus over Resting in Jesus, because really what it is, if soul rest comes from trust. And so if we are willing to trust in him, then that rest will come and fall.
That's good.
But trust is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It's so hard to do that because we want to put our trust in the things that we can see and we can feel and we can touch. But that's not what God is saying.
Yeah.
He wants us to trust him and to believe that he is who he says he is and that he holds the world together.
Yeah.
We don't have to put that onus on us. We can just like let that roll off of our shoulders. It's not on us to do it. And once we get to that point, then we can really rest in him.
That's so good. That's so true. That made me think about, I'm such a visual learner too, so I love to put a little bit of vision to what we're saying. Whenever I was going skiing a couple weeks ago with Christian, we were having so much fun, but we were with like really good skiers. So one of the girls we were with has like been trained her whole life by this like coach. And then the other guy was like an ex-NFL player, but he was also a really good skier. And then Christian's just like freakishly athletic and everything he does. And then there's me, and I'm like, you know what? I'm an average athlete, but I can do this. I can keep up with the crowd. And so anyways, we turn the corner and I'm thinking, oh no, like this is a little above my league. And it's snowing super hard and the visibility is really low and there's moguls and there's all this stuff. And it's just so funny. I felt my mind go into like preacher mode. I was preaching to myself. I was like, this is where faith comes in. This is where, when you have no vision, when you cannot see, this is where faith comes in. And I was just picturing like Peter walking on the water and not being able to fully see Jesus and him saying, come. And I was just having this super cool, like, mind preaching lesson as I was going down the mountain. And what was so cool is like, I looked back up that mountain when I got down. I'm like, I just did something so hard that required a lot of work, but I felt like it didn't feel like work. It was mm-hmm. so fun. It was restful in a sense. Wow. That trip was yeah. so restful for my soul. It was so refreshing to my spirit, but my body was so sore. Yes. And it just makes me think that like trust really is like the key to resting. So I love later on in the book, you talk about how resting is not just resting. It's not yes. just being still. It's not the absence not of work or taking yeah. a nap.
Right.
It's trusting in the Lord. And as you trust, you're able to rest. And so like, as I'm doing this thing that's physically exhausting, my trust was so anchored. My mind was being yeah. renewed. It was just something fun to do with my husband after really a long month of work that I was like, oh man, I feel so rejuvenated, even though my body felt tired. And it's just a good example of like, you can be going through hard things in your life and still find rest because you have a deep anchored trust in the Lord. Such a good word.
Amen.
The next thing you said, there are serious circumstances we will face in life that cannot be ignored. It's part of living in a fallen world. But when we worry about trivial things that may or may not happen, that's when we are in danger of wasting our lives away. And I was like, that's really good to just discern between. There are actually like big things in life that are going to cause us to have like, you know, worry. Like, okay, right. this is something I have to deal with. You know, this is something life's thrown at me because the world has fallen. And then there are other things like, okay, the meal's going to get done. You know, it's going right. to, whatever, the little things right. that can just waste away. But I want to talk to you about this because when you were writing this book, you had something hit you in life real time that caused a lot of worry, yeah. I'm sure. Right. So do you just want to tell a little bit about what you were going through as you were writing a book on resting in Jesus?
Yes. And that was the Lord, because I did not ask for this. And it just kind of like fell in my lap. And it was a gift that the Lord gave to me. But backing up a few years ago, I have a mom who's a breast cancer survivor, and the Lord healed her, but it was really, really hard. She just had triple negative breast cancer.
Wow.
And did chemo, the whole nine yards, lumpectomy, and radiation. And Julia, my sister, and I watched her walk through that. And it was hard to see her
yeah.
go through something like chemo. And I know a bunch of your listeners and,
yeah.
and people out there are dealing with that. So whenever I started having mammograms, they watched me more closely just because of my family history. Well, I had about two different biopsies that were done, and my breast cancer risk just kept going up and up and
wow.
up. And so finally it got up to about a 50% chance that I would have breast cancer in my lifetime. Well, I'm a lot older than you, but I'm still young,
yeah.
you know, relatively speaking. And I was having to go down to MD Anderson every 6 months to get either a mammogram or an MRI. So mammogram, MRI, mammogram, MRI. And it was almost like flipping a coin. And that's what the doctor said. It was like, you know, you're just going to flip a coin and just see
wow.
if you get breast cancer. And if you do, we can catch it early. And then your treatment won't be as hard as your mom's was. Well, Adams and I started praying about it. And we said, okay, well, you know, like, Lord, what are you leading us to do? Because, you know, the 50%, it is.
Yeah.
And it's flipping a coin every single time. And it was causing a lot of stress and worry.
Yeah.
Not only on me, but I could see how it was affecting my husband
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
And even my family. So I did a lot of research and prayer, tons of prayer, and decided to go with an elective mastectomy.
Hmm.
And so found a wonderful team of doctors down in New Orleans, but it was a two-part surgery. So hmm. I would have to go down there and I would have to do the mastectomy,
yeah.
but then I would have to come back months later and have the reconstruction finished. So imagine, I mean, like, it is a very invasive surgery, 8 hours, you're under anesthesia. And you know, by the time your body is almost starting to heal up and you're starting to feel a little bit better, it's like, then you have to go back under the knife to finish out that reconstruction. And it was in between then that Day Spring asked me to come and to write this Bible study.
Wow.
And I was thinking, okay, you know, like, Lord, I'm listening. But it really was such a lesson in trust and in rest, because what he did teach me is exactly what you said. It's whenever we are resting in Jesus, it is not about the absence of activity, or it's not even about living a carefree life, but it is about trusting him, even when your circumstances are less than ideal, even when your body is physically in pain, you know, and you're just waking up every day just like, oh man, just like, Lord, give me the strength to get through another day. But resting in him and trusting him to get you through that is where it's at.
Yep.
That's where it's the great. Rest is at. You know, so he taught me. Yeah.
Grows.
He taught it to me in real time.
Wow.
And it was really interesting. It was very hard, but I'm glad that I had that moment with him.
Wow.
You know, just to sit and just to learn how to trust that he is good, even when my circumstances are not great.
Wow, that's so good. I remember having lunch with you like shortly after your surgery, and I think I had just had my C-section, and we're both like, who can pick up her car seat? Neither one of us. And man, you're telling me about writing this book, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe you're writing that book right now. But at the same time, like, God's so good and so intentional that I'm like, I know how he's done this in my life. So I knew he was doing this in your life, that more than anyone needs this book, you need it first.
Yeah,
you know, when
I did.
Anyone needs this message, like, you're diving in. Whenever when you told me you're writing a whole book on Mary and Martha, I thought the same thing. Like, how do you write an entire book on Mary and Martha? Because it's pretty short. But when you are writing a book on Mary and Martha and going through what you're going through, and you're diving into the Lord and into his word as much as you are, then you get 200 pages of gold, in a lifetime of anchored relationship with him. This goes perfectly with the next page that I put down, which is so crazy because I always pray that the Holy Spirit will lead these conversations. And I read through this real fast, was marking the different things that I knew I wanted to talk to you about, and didn't know that was all what you were going to share. And it leads straight into the next place I just happened to pin about scars. And it says on page 123, this is day 5 of week 4, rest for your healing in times of grief. It says, just as a physical wound needs time to scab over before it can stop bleeding, the same care must be taken with our hearts. We can't expect more of it than we do our own bodies. After the scab gives away, there will undoubtedly be a scar. But if treated properly, even scars will fade in time. There will always be a hint of I'm fumbling through my words. Not your words are great. My words are failing me. There will always be the hint of what was once a gaping hole, but the beautiful thing about the scar is that it tells a story. Yeah. And like, that was so beautiful. And it was cool because today when I saw you, you were telling me about another surgery you had, and I was like, I don't see your scar. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I've been, you know, treating it. And I was like, wow, that's literally what your book says, that it's treated properly, you won't be able to even see the scar, but there will be a faint line only to tell the story. And you actually physically have that representation, but spiritually too. And I want to ask you about, like, what are some of those things, like, what is some of the spiritual intentional care that you can do for the spiritual scars in your life?
That's a really good question. Well, Jesus has to be the healer, right?
Yep.
You know, because it's not just physical ailments that we have, but some people are dealing with mental health issues. Some people are dealing with grief of losing a loved one. Yep. And I know what that feels like. Like, it takes a long time to heal from that. And the only way is through, you know, and we talked about this before about, you know, if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the key word there is through.
Through.
Right? And so you don't want to sit in it and get stuck. And we can get stuck.
Yep.
You know, but if we keep moving, if we keep trusting, if we keep believing that He will heal us, then we can make it through to the other side.
That's great.
But sometimes you're just, you're either your body's in trauma or your soul is in trauma. And I think that that's important for us to talk about because you need time to heal and you need to have grace for yourself.
Yeah.
Like grace upon grace. I was just sitting with a friend and they lost there was a terrible tragedy in our community where a young boy was killed. And I was just telling this person, I was like, you have to have so much grace for yourself to be able to get through this. And it's just a day by day process. And one of the things that inside of here that the Lord taught me was whenever Martha comes out, it says that she was the dead man's sister.
Oh,
and so she
wow.
had put this label on herself, Sadie, where she was wearing that label, where I am the dead man's sister. And I've worn that label before, you know, and you can get stuck in that and you can think, okay, well, just because my brother Jeremy's life is over, then my life is over.
Yeah.
But what the Lord taught me is like, there needed to be a resurrection inside of me. It wasn't just Lazarus that got resurrected. It was Martha and Mary that got resurrected. And my story is the same way. And so what he was teaching me was to go ahead and strip off those labels. So there might be labels that you are wearing today, whether it be alcoholic or adulterer or bad mom or just somebody who is struggling to get through that grief. Sometimes we have to be willing to take off that label and allow the Lord to do a resurrection inside of us. And He can and He will, you know. And it's beautiful.
Friend, I was trying to keep quiet from shouting you down. That was so good. I was just like, wow. Because today when I was rereading the story of Mary and Martha, just knowing we were going to talk about this, I was like, I actually noted that part that she and I was and I hadn't noticed that before, but the reason I really noticed it is because I was like, I wonder if April feels that way with her brother. Like, I wonder if she's felt that way. And maybe this story is just hits her differently than it's hit me because she understands what that's like to lose a brother and then to like rest in Jesus and to find that healing through Him. But then the revelation you just pulled out is something that I never have thought about before, that it wasn't just Lazarus that had the resurrection, but it was the sisters that did too and who needed it too. Because God's healing doesn't just come in the physical most of the time. It actually comes in the spiritual. It comes in your emotional. It comes in your heart. And, you know, hopefully your healing will come here, but ultimately it's going to come in heaven, you know,
that's
after
right.
this life.
Yeah.
And so, but we all need to be resurrected before that in our own heart and in our own life. And so, man, that's beautiful. That was so beautifully put. I am like so excited for all of you to go buy this book and go through this whole thing because this is just a tease.
Can I say something about
resurrection
and life? So what is interesting about Jesus putting out this I am statement, all right, so in the Gospel of John, Jesus reveals Himself in the I am statements, and He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd.
Yes.
And He has all of these different ones. Well, this is the first time that He addresses an I am statement to a person, and He addresses it to a woman.
Wow.
He addresses it to Martha.
That's cool.
And He says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Wow.
But it came with a question. And that question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And it took me back to the fact that belief is a really big deal to God. We have to believe that He is who He says He is.
That's great.
And we are all going, Martha was struggling, you know, believing in the resurrection. Yes, I believe that we're all going to be resurrected. And, you know, she goes into this theological debate with them. But we're all going to be able to have that eternal life if we are in Jesus. And that's his point. That's great. You know, because Lazarus would eventually die again.
Yeah.
You know, and Mary and Martha would too. But it's the fact that he is the resurrection and the life.
It's great.
It's eternal life. I mean, it's so much bigger than what we can wrap our minds around. So whenever we have things that are weighing us down, whenever we have grief, whenever we need healing for our soul, for the here and the now, what do you do when your brother stays in the grave? Mm-hmm. You allow Jesus to come and to heal you and to bring you through to the other side of it. But you also have your hope in the fact that he is the resurrection and the life, and we get to be with him forever.
It's great. You know? Oh my gosh. I'm so grateful for everything you're saying, because I just feel like there are so many of you listening who needed this word, who needed to dive into the word and also hear April's story and her testimony. And you can walk in that too. Like, that same offer of Jesus Christ is available to every single person listening. And I love that you brought up the I ams, because one of my favorite stories is the story of Moses. And I love how when God says, like, you tell them I am who I am. And it's kind of like this mysterious thing, like, who is the I am? Like, right. What does that mean? And then Jesus is like, I'll tell you who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Yeah. And all these things. And it's like just so cool. That is a mic drop. That's like, I waited a couple thousand years to tell you exactly who I am and to show you. And it's just so good. We can finish with this. I mean, there's so many good things to say, but on page 179, I just wanted you to read, if you don't mind, it's your words. I'll let you read it instead of my own. But just the to be a woman of legacy. I love that you put that in there. And I just feel like that's a perfect way to end, just as an encouragement to those listening. What's a practical thing to take as you hear all of this? And how can you be, you know, this woman of legacy, like Mary and Martha? What can we take away in our own lives? And so if you want to read just that last part of page 179, I think that'll be a great encouragement to end on.
I would love to. To be a woman of legacy is not about building our fame or fortune. It's not even about how much we talk about Jesus. It's more about how we act like him. And the only way that we are going to act more like him is to place ourselves at his feet over and over again. At his feet, we learn what his word says about who we are in him. At his feet is where we fall for healing when we are broken and hurting. At his feet is where we worship him with every ounce of our being. And as we get up to attend our business and our daily lives, we find that we too smell of the expensive perfume of spikenard. It has seeped into our hands and into our hair, reminding us to continue to rest in Jesus.
There it is. That's perfectly put. So friends, I hope that you find rest in Jesus today. First step, by knowing him and by trusting him. And so I hope you go into a deeper dive. Once again, the book is Resting in Jesus, April Rogers. You can find it where books are sold. Anywhere?
Amazon.
All the places. Go check it out, friends, and have a great rest of your week.